Hi, thank you for visiting the Remnant Church podcast. We hope that this message will be seed planted in the fertile ground of your heart, watered a seed that has already been planted, and that the Lord of the harvest will bring the increase. May it take roots downward and fruit grow upward and outward. Let us join the message already in progress.
There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said, I'm going to butcher this word, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened, he began to speak plainly. So I want to speak a message this morning simply titled, Just Keep Breathing. Just keep breathing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, just keep breathing. Look at your other neighbor, the neighbor you don't like as much because you didn't go to them first. And say, other neighbor, just keep breathing. There was some research that was done not too long ago by a man by the name of Dr. Carl Pillemer. And he is a professor of human development at Cornell University. And in his research that he was doing a study where he was spending time with senior citizens. In fact, he ended up surveying and he ended up researching and studying around 1,200 different senior citizens. And ultimately what he discovered in his study is at the end of their life, they all kind of came back with this overarching kind of similar, response to their greatest regret in life. And this is what they kind of collectively sort of said, these 1,200-something people, was at the end of their life, as they were reflecting on their life, they said, we wish we wouldn't have worried so much. We wish we wouldn't have worried so much. I've heard it before that 85% of the things that we worry about never happen. And I like how the Apostle Paul, he wrote it in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 4. He says this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many could use some peace today? You can use some peace today. Like, I've never met anyone who's like, you know what? I got enough peace. Don't need it. Like, what? Like, how are you doing? Well, you know what? I'm too full of peace. I don't know how I'm going to make it. No. There is not, that's not something you commonly hear. And I think that everybody we meet could use a little bit more peace. It's amazing that at the end of their life, these 1,200 senior citizens were saying, man, I wish I wouldn't have worried as much. So we kind of know what we're going to be saying at the end of our life. But the question is, how do we actually conquer it here and now? Paul, he wrote this letter 2,000 years ago, is speaking to people and he's saying, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then what he says the peace of God, I like God's peace because God's peace is not circumstantial. God's peace is not based on your exterior environment, but rather God's peace starts from the inside out. This type of peace, it transcends. It permeates every challenge you are going through. And this peace will guard your heart, but it will also guard your mind. Let me just be very, very clear. God cares about your mind. God cares about your mental health. Because 2,000 years ago, he was giving you a remedy. He was giving you a prescription towards your mental health. And he says, hey, I want to give you peace to your mind. Paul starts by saying, don't be anxious. And this word anxious, it really comes from the word worry. And when you begin to study the word worry from its original language in English, you'll get some synonyms that show up with it. Worry in its original meaning means to choke or to strangle. Isn't that fascinating? I think it's a really good kind of metaphor because so many of us in this room today, we feel like we are being strangled by our situations. So many of us in this room today, we would say, man, my life right now, I'm just finding it difficult to breathe. It's just the heaviness. It's this mild grade of anxiety that I feel like almost every person that I actually get past the surface with is carrying in their life. Maybe it's because your job is taking a toll on you. Maybe it's because your family is so demanding. Maybe it's because you don't want to let anyone down. Maybe it's because you failed in the past and now you're trying to overcompensate for it. Maybe it's you've gone through some hurts and you've gone through some hangups. And today there's this loom and gloom that hits your life. And so many of us, we hear this word choke or strangle and it resonates with us. And we're going through some circumstances right now where my breathing is off and I'm finding it difficult to breathe. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you that you've come to the right place. If that's you today, I want to encourage you that God does not leave you in that state to say, you know what, just tough your way through it. He doesn't just say, you know what, you got to get some more willpower. But today God says, I have a supernatural peace that transcends all understanding. Doctors can't answer it. Scientists can't solve it. It's the peace that passes all understanding. And that's what we have access to today as God's people. The great Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard, he said this about despair. He said, despair is the sickness unto death. And the reason why I don't have to get a show of hands today about if you're having a hard time breathing, do you feel like your situation is strangling you? Do you feel like you're choking your way through your circumstances? I don't need to get a poll in this room today because research shows us and tells us that we have never seen anxiety at this point in our society, ever. Like once again, we all have this shared suffering experience called COVID-19. Anybody remember 2020? It was tough. It was weird. It was strange. I remember March of 2020. I remember going to the grocery store having this extreme fear and anxiety. And I would come home and before I would walk in the house, I would take my clothes off and throw them in the wash. Cassidy's ready to burn my shoes. You went to Walmart! It was a lot. And it didn't matter what your drug of choice was, whether it was CNN or Fox News, both were serving it up one way or the other. And it was not producing a lot of peace. Depression is on a rise. Antidepressants have never been prescribed quicker and faster than ever before. And would you believe this? Would you believe that there are twice as many suicides in America as there are homicides in America? Get ready. I know this is heavy and I know this is some bad news. We got to hear some bad news before we get to some good news. Suicide is the second leading cause of death from ages 11 to 30 in America. Like what? Suicide is the second leading cause of death in our teenagers in America. I would say that there is another pandemic amongst us. I would say that this idea of anxiety and depression and suicide is sweeping the land. And if someone is going to bring the good news, if someone is going to bring the answer, I believe the body of Christ, I believe the church needs to herald that there is hope. And today, I know there's people in this room that you are just hanging on for dear life. You are just hanging on. And I want to remind you that to some people that came today, don't stop breathing. Just keep breathing. Listen, if you're here today and you're just hanging on, I want to continue to applaud you. I want to continue to tell you that you matter, that you are chosen, that you are valuable, that you are brave. Don't quit. Just keep breathing. Breathe. Breath is such an interesting concept when it comes to this idea of anxiety or even depression. Breathing has practical implications, and of course, breathing has some spiritual implications. Let me take a moment, and I want to put us on the same level playing field. Breathing practically for a moment, you and I, we take about 22,000 breaths a day. It's a lot of breathing. And you got to know that every breath that you take is a gift from God. So when you take in a deep inhale, what it does is it slightly increases your heart rate, and when you exhale, it slows your heart rate down. And so what is happening is the more you take in deep inhales and then exhale, what happens is you start to get your heart rate on the same pace as your breath. And what's powerful is that when you start to get the heart rate on the same pace as your breath, it begins to release endorphins into your brain. And these endorphins, they are chemicals that go into your body, and it has a natural calming effect. They should make me a doctor. I'm just kidding. And that's kind of powerful, because what psychologists will tell you is that breathing and controlling your breath is one of the most natural pathways to managing your anxiety. It's powerful to think about that I can actually, with my breathing, release endorphins into my brain, which are going to calm my body. Just so you know, God created all of this. It's kind of crazy. But when you think about it for a minute, what is suicide? Suicide is literally stopping your breath. What does anxiety do? Anxiety has the ability to attack your breath, which is called hyperventilation. What does depression do? Depression actually starts to slow your breath down, where you can't get natural endorphins into your body. And all of these things are attacking your breath. So I want to say to you is just keep breathing. Because there's something powerful taking place in your body, practically speaking. The first thing that I thought about when it comes to breathing is that breathing is anchored in the present moment. Let me just tell you something about God's peace. God's peace is not in the future. It's not in the past. God's peace is in the present. It's in the now. And everything about anxiety and everything about depression and everything about mental illness so often is trying to take you everywhere but here. To be in this moment, to be in the right now, to get quiet, to experience the presence of God. And when you start concentrating on your breath, it always takes you back to the present moment. Here's what I love about breathing. I don't know if you know this, but it's always available. Unless you're in space. So you could just take a moment right now. You could just count your breaths. It's always available to me right here in the moment. But what does breathing also tell us to do? It teaches us to let go. That when I exhale, can't carry the shame of yesterday. Can't carry the performances of days ago. You have to let it go. All you have is right now, here today. And there's these practical implications, but there's also these spiritual implications. And this is really powerful when you look at God's word and the idea of breath and breathing. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Now, in almost every language, spirit and breath are interchangeable. And so this is the very beginning of the story of creation. And creation has not been formed yet. There's darkness everywhere. There's chaos everywhere. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God, or the breath of God, hovers over the chaos. Let me encourage you. Creation is formed out of chaos. If you're facing some chaos right now in your life, if you're facing some chaos right now, just hang on. Don't stop breathing, because creation is on the other side of the chaos. God is creating something in your chaos. Every end has a new beginning. How about Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? It says, "Then the Lord formed the man from the dirt, from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." And I like this, because how was man formed? Man was dirt. And God came and he breathed life into the dirt. Let me just tell you, if you got some dirt in your life, just keep breathing. Because God can take the dirt and he can breathe divinity into it, and life can come out of the dirt. There's life in the dirt. There's new beginnings coming out of the dirt. God says, just let me breathe in it. Something is going to form. Something is going to shape. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel called God Yahweh. And you spell that Y-H-W-H. And when it's written out, there's no vowels. Because the idea of God's name is that God's name is meant to be breathed. Yahweh. That concept is that, you know, when did you first say the name of God? The first time you said the name of God is in your very first breath. Yahweh. So when does life end? Does life end when you stop breathing, or when you stop saying God's name? It's just breath, Yahweh. Which is fascinating to consider, that God speaks to the promise into a man known as Abraham. Before he was known as Abraham, he was known as Abram. But when God gives him a promise, God changes Abram to Abraham. Because God was putting his breath into him. God was stamping him with approval. Same thing with his wife, Sarah. She was Sarai, and now she becomes Sarah. And the idea of God's breath is on humanity. And I want to encourage you today that if you are in Christ Jesus, and you have surrendered your life over to God, he has breathed into you, and you have been formed into his image. And he declares over your life, "I am for you, I am love you, and I accept you." So there's these spiritual implications, and it's not just all in the Old Testament. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament, Jesus, after he has gone to the cross, he's resurrected from the grave, and Jesus, he's telling his disciples, guess what? I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And watch what he does. This is in John chapter 20, verse 21. He says again, Jesus again says, "Peace be with you." And why is he saying peace? Because these guys were pretty anxious. They were pretty worried. They felt like something was strangling them. They felt like life was choking them a little bit. They were like, "Wait a minute, Jesus. We already lost you to the cross one time, and now you're telling us you're going to leave us again? There's no way we can make it on this earth without you, Jesus." And Jesus is saying, "Look, I know the circumstances look tough. I know it seems dark all around you. I know you don't understand how you're going to make it from one day to the next day. But I've come to speak peace be with you. My peace transcends. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them. And said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive another's sins, their sins will be forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Before he gives them the Holy Spirit, Jesus stops and he breathes on them. Do you know what the Holy Spirit does in your life? The Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 15, is a comforter and a counselor. I think this is really cool, that he is speaking to a group of men who are anxious, who are worried, and before he sends his Spirit, interchangeable with his breath, he breathes on them, literally. And after he breathes on them, he says, "Receive the comfort, the comforter, and receive the greatest counselor that you could ever imagine." Listen, there is no comforter like the Holy Spirit. There is no counselor like the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful today that I have the Holy Spirit that wants to meet with me and walk with me. Receive the Holy Spirit. Breath and breathing have these practical implications, but it has these spiritual implications. Don't stop breathing. I want to land in Mark chapter 7. I chose it on purpose because Mark chapter 7, we meet this man, this guy who is sick. And the fact he is deaf, and that is his sickness, and he is struggling through it. So in Mark chapter 7, we see this guy, he's here, and he's sick, and he needs help. And there are people in our community and in our schools and in our jobs that are sick, and they need help. They need love. They need someone to serve them. And I want to make a few observations today. If you're taking notes, if you take notes, you have a bigger mansion in heaven. I want to read some portions and I want to make some observations. Mark 7, verse 31 says, "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him." Observation number one, silence doesn't protect you. This man is deaf. And because he's deaf, he's unable to speak. And he's unable to get the words out. And I think whenever we're dealing with any form of depression, the lie of the enemy is, it's not a big deal. Don't say anything. Somehow we lie to ourselves and we think, you know what, I can just get through this on my own. And we tell ourselves, I can make my way through this, it's okay. And here's this man in Mark chapter 7, and his sickness, it leaves him in a spot where he's unable to express what he needs. He's unable to express that he's in a time where he needs help from Jesus. He can't speak. But when I look at people that are dealing with this anxiety and when they're dealing with depression, so often I'm always shocked at how many of us are going through things, but we never tell anybody about it. I got to be real honest with you. Let me be real with you. One of my jobs and one of Andrew's jobs and one of Pastor Reed's jobs and leadership and pastors of this church with youth and adults and kids is to create an environment where people are able to be honest with what they are going through. To create this healthy community where people can communicate. And the thing with depression is not being able to talk about your problems while taking on everyone else's just to hide your own. You ever been there before? Where you yourself are going through such a dark struggle in a dark place, and somehow your coping mechanism becomes, tell me your problems, and I'll just take it on and take it on and take it on, all the while I'm stuffing I'm stuffing it down. Silence doesn't protect you. Listen, we can solve any of our problems, I believe, together. But hear me, we can't solve problems that we don't know about. You got to open up your mouth. You got to speak up, even if your voice is shaking when you do it. Because if you can't talk about it, whatever you can't talk about controls you. And one of the most important ways, one of the most powerful ways to fight back against anxiety and depression is you talk about it. You bring it to the light. And I don't know what it is, but anxiety and depression, they don't like being in the light. They want to keep you isolated. They want to keep you in the dark. They want to keep you when you're just trying to deal with it on your own, in your own room, in your own mind, in your own space, in between your own two ears. But I'm telling you, the burden is too heavy. The burden is too great. You have to open up your mouth. And if you give voice to the pain that's going on inside of you, the silence will not protect you. Verse 33. After he took him aside away from the crowds. Crowds won't heal you. Listen, if you're really struggling today, just being at church, that's a start. But it's not enough. You got to get alone with God. What happens so often is we just kind of get around the crowd. We just kind of get around the general public. But Jesus, we need Jesus. So often we get inspired in the crowd, but we get healed when we actually get into the presence of God. We actually get into his presence. Crowds, they won't heal us. I'm thankful that we have church. There was something about being one-on-one. A few years ago, I opened up to Cassidy about some mental struggles that I had been having at the end of 2022, and it was a hard conversation that I had with her. There was a lot of shame. There was a lot of tears being shed. It was a lot of me telling her what's going on with me. And I had been in denial about it, battling this anxiety that I was feeling. And by talking to her about it, we kind of discovered that my anxiety and the things that I was struggling with in my mind was rooted from things in my past and things that I was still hanging on to. And man, it felt so good to talk about it one-on-one with someone. Hear me, we can go to a great conference, we can go to great revivals, but it will never compare with getting one-on-one with Jesus. The crowds won't save you, because it's in those alone times with God that you will discover something that you won't discover in the presence of many. So Jesus, he takes this man outside the crowd. And before he heals him, he gets him away from the crowd. I'm grateful that you're here today. That's just a conversation starter. And maybe you're here and you're like, I'm going through this. And Jesus is just wanting to grab you by the hand and say, all right, for this healing to take place, we got to get away from everybody for a moment. I got to get you one-on-one. You got to get in my presence. Continuing in verse 33, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears and then he spit and touched the man's tongue. Kind of gross. Kind of interesting, but kind of gross. But it's Jesus, you know? You don't need to understand. But in Middle Eastern culture, in this time period, saliva and spit was so often seen as an agent or even as a medicine. And there's some theologians that would actually believe that Jesus is tipping his hat a little bit to say, hey, medicine isn't bad. So I want to say this, because I know you hear some negative stuff all the time, but medicine and doctors can benefit you. It can benefit you. Jesus could have healed him, but he chose to spit for a moment and use the saliva. Something I did a few years ago because of my anxiety is I went to the doctor. And what did he do? He gave me some medicine. And there's nothing wrong with that. Why? Because it helped me. And I could go through my whole life and see the benefits of doctors and medicines. Thank God for the wisdom of doctors. If it wasn't for doctors, I wouldn't be here today. My mom was sick when she was pregnant with me when I was born. So he used doctors to help me and to help her. God used doctors, and Cassidy gave Cassidy a heart transplant. God gave doctors the wisdom and the ability to save her life. But sometimes the medicine that we need is not the medicine that we want. What do you mean by that? Well, Jack is 4 years old, about to be five. And we had one of the biggest challenges of our lives with him, trying to potty train him. And it was rough. Oh my gosh, it was rough. And I was like, man, when are we going to stop buying diapers? And we had to take some from the church. No, I'm just kidding. But I remember he started doing, you know, for the sake of being up here, he started doing number one in the potty. That was easy, you know. But number two was the hard part. So we bought him these big boy undies and these little potties. And we bought him his own toilet seat to sit on ours. And it was Spider-Man. And it was his favorite. But did he use it? No. And the struggle was real. It was so frustrating. Cassidy crying, I'm crying. My mom yelling at me, get potty training, it's not easy. He needed to learn how to use the potty, but he didn't want to. It was the medicine that he needed, but it wasn't the medicine that he wanted. So I want to encourage you, medicine can benefit you, but I want to ask you this, is how much sleep are you getting? What are you watching? What are you watching? What are you scrolling? Are you reading your Bible? I just want to know, what is this world prescribing you? What are you intaking? Because it's going to take discipline to walk in this life of faith. Medicine can benefit us, but many times the medicine that we need is not the medicine that we want. And so Jesus, Amanda, if you could come on back, watch this. Verse 34, he looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ear was opened, his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak plainly. I want to tell you today, Jesus really loves you. He really loves you. And oftentimes when you're going through a dark valley, this is the first thing that we can begin to forget. That if God really loved me, why would he let this heaviness be upon me? Why would I be facing this today? But I want to encourage you that there is a God who is close to you when you are broken. And there's Jesus. He comes up to the man, and before he heals the man, he stops and he looks up. And some of us today, we're just looking down, and our whole life and is just down, and our whole life is just right here, and you know, I'm just not happy, and this and that. But I want to encourage you, look up. And he breathes. Sighing, more often than not, has a negative connotation. Trust me, I'm a teacher. I hear it all the time. It usually means to sigh with relief or a groan. But I know what Romans 8 says. Romans 8 says that the whole world is groaning with an eager expectations for the sons and the daughters to be revealed in the earth. And I want to encourage some people today that if you got out of bed with a sigh, that if you came to church sighing, I want to encourage you, if you're going to work and your first reaction is the sigh, this again. If you're parenting those kids with a sigh, if your marriage feels like a sigh, there she goes again. Can I encourage you? Sighing is still breathing. Sighing counts as breathing. Don't stop breathing. Jesus, he exhales and then he breathes. He looks up, breathes and say, Ephphatha, which means be opened. And in one moment, the man who was deaf, his ears were opened and his tongue begins to speak plainly, clearly. One of the greatest signs that we are healthy is when we're able to articulate and communicate that which we are up against. I'm disarming the powers of the pain that I'm facing, speaking plainly to the darkness. Jesus really loves you, and he's here right now. And I don't know what you're thinking, but he really loves you, and he cares about the state of your heart. He cares about the state of your mind. And he says, peace be with you. He wants to grant you peace. He wants to give you peace. He wants to walk with you. Don't stop breathing. Stand to your feet. Just keep breathing. Working on this message, I wrote this message out months ago. And on three different occasions, when Andrew has asked me to speak, I'm like, yeah, this is it. I'm going to speak this message. I readied it, got it ready. But God never released me to speak it. And I would get it, and I would get another sermon. I would prepare another sermon. But the prep for this week, for this message, is very therapeutic for me. Because we all battle something in our minds. Over the last few years, I've started reading a lot. I tell students at school that I read and they laugh at me, and I'm not really sure what that means. But I've been focusing a lot of my reading on this depression and anxiety and the battle in your mind. And I read a book a few years ago called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. And can I tell you something? In Psalm 23, the Bible says that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Have you ever thought about that table? Have you ever thought about what's on the table? What's on the table? It's not some microwave hot pocket and a bottle of nasty Dasani water. No. It's the greatest food that you can ever have. Fried chicken, roast beef, steak, honey-baked ham, mashed potatoes and gravy, Alfredo pasta, grapes, fresh-cut pineapples, a hot chocolate cake, some cheesecake on the side, maybe some warm apple pie with some vanilla ice cream. You name it, it's there. Y'all ready to leave now. But it's your table. With who? With God. Right there in the middle of your battle, God is preparing the table. With enemies all around you, it's you and God feasting together. But every time anxiety, every time depression hits, you allow the enemy to take the seat. When worry hits, you allow an enemy to take a seat. And I don't know about you. I want to be real for a moment. It's hard to enjoy something when someone you have an issue with is sitting right next to you. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. God is saying, hey, eat. Stop letting him take a seat and eat your food. Stop letting him control you. Stop letting thoughts of depression consume you. So this morning, simple altar call. Like I said with this message, I've preached it to myself all week. But if this message has been for you, yep, I've been struggling. That's me. This is simple altar call. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. Father God, I praise you. God, there are people in this room right now that are struggling. There's people that are struggling in their minds. They are battling anxiety. They are battling worry. They are battling depression. They are struggling to breathe. Saying, I don't know if I can go from one moment to the next moment. I don't know if I can go to tomorrow. I don't know if I can go back to work. I don't know if I can do this. But God, the Bible says that you give us a peace that passes all understanding. Today, I pray you would give people in this room peace. The peace of God for our minds. The peace of God for our hearts. The peace of God for the storms that is going on in our life. The peace of God. Simple altar call this morning. They're going to sing. And if you need that peace in your life, if you're struggling, you said this message is for me. If you need that peace in your life, I'm going to ask you to come. Would you come as they sing?
Thank you for listening to Remnant Church. Our service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and Sunday evening at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We would love for you to visit with us in person at 5134 Joe Frank Harris Parkway in Adairsville, Georgia. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.